Well, welcome everyone. It's good to see all y'all. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. If you're watching online, thank you so much for joining us online. We're super glad that you're with us. If you've been with us recently in the past couple weeks, you know we just started a new series a few weeks back called When the Bones Are Good. And this series is kind of inspired by the song The Bones by Maren Morris. And that song is kind of just about looking at the importance of having this solid foundation in life. And that's kind of what we're doing here. There's a line in the song that says, "The house won't fall when the bones are good." And for us, we're going to kind of take that and we're kind of strengthening our bones throughout this series, if that makes sense. So before we jump into that, though, I want to look back at last week real quick. This past week, we had Grace Kids Extreme. And if you don't know what that is, that's kind of our VBS, our Vacation Bible School for kindergarten through sixth graders. And we did that at the park, at Wolf Park out in by Old Town Arvada. And I want you to know how awesome it was. We had 180 kids registered for this. It was so, so, so great. And we had about, because give or take at nights, different events happening, we had around 130, 140 kids every night come out to this. And for some perspective, last year, the highest night we had attendance for was 102 kids. So we blew that out of the water this year, which is amazing. And we had over 75 volunteers, which is awesome. And that's people on the ground leading small groups, caring for kids. It's also people helping with food and helping with setup and tear down, all that kind of stuff. And most importantly of all, we had at least from our count, at least 15 kids place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, which is so, so awesome. It was just a really, really, really great week. And just wanted to let you know about that. And also wanted to draw your attention to this Friday night and Saturday. This is for men. We have a Promise Keepers event, a simulcast event, where we'll come here and we'll gather and we'll be able to watch on the screens this Promise Keepers event. That at the same time as so many other men around the country and most likely globally around the world watching this and participating in this event. And we don't want you to miss it. There's more information about it in your bulletins. And if you're watching online, there's more information about it on our website. But it's this Friday night and this Saturday morning. And there's only 200 spots that we can offer up just because of social distancing and things like that. So I encourage you to get signed up as soon as you possibly can. I know that Denny's going to be out in the foyer after the service and he'd love to answer any questions at all that you might have. So please don't miss those opportunities. So as I said, we've been in this series. This is our third week in this series, The Bones Are Good. And today we're talking about rain. It's more specifically, we're talking about what happens when the storms in life come and how do we handle them? Because storms do come. They do. We've been in a big one all year for the most part, right? And we should know this too, that storms usually, sometimes we face more than one at the same time. Sometimes there's three or four going on in our lives at the same time. And so we're going to look today at how we can respond to storms when they come. And just like in the song, she sings, "Let it rain." And she sings that confidently because she knows that her foundation is strong enough to handle it. And I want that for us, so that when the storms come, our foundation is strong enough so that we can handle it too. And so I was thinking a lot about rain and just about storms, and I feel like I should tell you this, full disclosure, I love the rain. I love it. I love everything about the rain. I love how it smells. I love the sound of the rain. I love overcast skies. Like if I wake up in the morning and it's overcast, it's a great day for me. And you all are like, we live in Colorado. We like the sun. And but that's okay. I love that. And I think my favorite part about the rain is what it does to, it turns everything green. I love the colors that come with rain. There's just something about them. It just says life. Now, I'm from Portland, Oregon originally. I grew up in Portland. That might explain why I love the rain. In the Pacific Northwest, we get a decent amount of the rain. And so I grew up there and anytime, my favorite season here is spring because that's when we get the most rain. And I feel like it was like 3 years ago, in the month of May, there was like three straight weeks of nothing but rain. And not just like little sprinkles, but it was like pouring for like 3 weeks. And they were probably the three best weeks of my life in Colorado. It was amazing. So, but I would come to church and I have some friends here that know I love the rain. So the day one of that storm, I came and they're like, oh man, I bet you're loving this. I'm like, I am loving this. You're right. This is awesome. And by day three, they're like, I hope you're happy. And then like after about a week, I'm getting the stink eye. After 2 weeks, they're saying, you did this to us. Go back home and take your rain with you. And I love it so much because it does. It just fills me. And one of the things I love about rain is that God does great things through rain and through the storms in our life. He does that. He does it. He does great things on earth. We could see them. Things turn green when it rains, right? But in our lives, we grow when it rains. And so I love that. And so as we jump into this and we look at storms, I thought it'd be a good place to start when we're talking about the storms of life and how we handle them is to define what a storm is. And so I went to Webster's Dictionary and I got myself a definition. And this is the definition that it came with for storms. Listen to this, because I think these words are really great. A storm is a disturbance of the atmosphere. It's a disturbance of the atmosphere, marked by wind and usually by rain, snow, hail, sleet, thunder, and lightning. And I love that. It's a disturbance of the atmosphere, because you think about storms. I got to be honest. I've had a few disturbances of my atmosphere this year. Have you? Yeah, right? We all have. And I love that definition because I think it's a good way to look at the storms in our life. And realistically, like I said, there's going to be times when you're facing 5, 6, 7 storms at once at different levels. It's that disturbance of the atmosphere. Last fall, we did a series called Mirrors. And in this series, we talked about, we looked at this kind of personality assessment kind of thing called the Enneagram. And if you remember this, we went through it and it kind of identifies 9 different general personality types. And these don't define us wherever you land in there. They don't define us, but they definitely allow us to, I think we can relate with some of the character traits in those. And the whole point of this series was to help us to understand who God made us to be better, right? And so we started this series off and you take this little self-assessment test to kind of find out where your number is, or at least what you most identify closely with. And I talked to a number of people who, when they took this, that it was like, they had like 2 or 3 numbers that were pretty close together on the high end. They're like, I don't know, I'm kind of one of these. I can see this, but I can also see this. So for me, there was one number up here and then everything else was way down here. Like it was super obvious. And the number that I identified with most was number 9. And just if you don't know what that means, it means that the personality trait I identify with is a peacemaker. And that matters to me. Peacemaking matters to me. Things that are peaceful matters to me. And I'm a peace lover as well. I love it when things are peaceful. I just do. So this has been a great year. I do. I love it when things are peaceful. And it's interesting. We're all different, right? Because that can't just define everyone feels the same way who's in that number. No. Like, what's peaceful for me might not be peaceful for someone else. Like, what's peaceful for me is a clean house when I come home. What's peaceful for me is things organized and not chaotic. What's peaceful for me is everyone getting along. That matters to me. My kids getting along, that would be great. I think when my kids are safe, that brings me a huge sense of peace, right? And those are things that really, I don't know, keep me calm. Now, anything that's the opposite of that, I would consider a disturbance of my atmosphere. If that makes sense, based on what we just defined in that storm. Because I like how Webster kind of gives us seemingly levels of storms. Because he talks about, he says, the disturbance of the atmosphere marked by wind. And then he starts listing off these other things. Could be rain, snow, hail, sleet, thunder, lightning, all of those different things. It starts with wind, and then it kind of starts moving through the weather terms. It doesn't get to like hurricane and tornado, but I started thinking about those kind of things. And I'm like, well, that's just all of those things happening at the same time, which sounds horrendous. And that's what it is, right? And you think about hurricanes, and they have those like category listings, right? Like category 5 hurricane are usually the really bad ones. And I think tornadoes have the same kind of thing. And I started thinking, like, I wonder if we could categorize our own personal storms in that way. Like, hey, this is a category 1 storm. Like, you know, like when you get your car washed and then you leave the car wash and a bird poops on your windshield. Like immediately, that's probably a category 1. Because I'm kind of frustrated that I just spent money and then this happened. But like on a bigger scale, like for me, as someone who enjoys a clean house, you know, I leave it in the morning and it looks the way I cleaned it. And then I come back and the 2 young people have done something. And it doesn't look the same. And I feel disturbed. And that starts as like that. It's a category 2 right when I walk in. And realistically, if it's not cleaned within minutes, it will elevate, right? Like that's how storms work for us, I think. And so we kind of, I wonder if I categorize those things, I can know. And then I can just, it's a great language. Like I can be, honey, I'm at a 4 right now. And I'm trying real hard to dissipate this. But I just want you to know, like it's a good language for us to use. But there's all kinds of storms out there. There's global storms, like the things that affect the world as a whole. Obviously, we've been in a few of them already this year. We talk about COVID. We talk about racism. There's wars going on still all over this world. There's financial collapse. Those are big, big kind of global storms that affect all of us, right? And then you got maybe some more, let's go a little bit more local, maybe with just your friends and family. Maybe there's some health problems with a family member or a friend. Maybe there's been a death of a loved one. Maybe someone lost a job and it's affected you. These are real storms that happen. Or maybe your storm that you're dealing with is a little more personal, a little more private. Maybe it is. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's anxiety and fear. That's understandable in the times that we're in. Maybe it's heartache or heartbreak. There's so many different things, depression. Listen, here's what I know from reading God's word. And you can write this down. Storms, no matter how bad they get, always serve a purpose. Storms always serve a purpose. And Pastor Rick talked, he's talked before about how there's like 5 different kinds of storms. And I think I put them in your outline. There's the storms that correct us. And those are the storms that, you know, in the midst of it, you're like, okay, yeah, I definitely just need to fix this. The reason the storm is happening, because I need to fix it. Like I can do that. And then there's also storms that protect us. You know, sometimes we don't always see why these storms are happening. Maybe God has us going through this storm because he's protecting us from this giant storm. So if we do this little one now and we learn from it and grow from it, then we avoid the huge one, right? So storms exist to protect us. Sometimes they direct us. It's just one of those things where in the midst of it, you're like, okay, I got it. Yeah, I see you want me to go this way. And I was going this way, so you're redirecting me. That makes a lot of sense. Sometimes he uses storms to inspect us. And those are those kind of storms where we need to take a step back and just think through, okay, yeah, I don't know if I realize that about myself, but I see that now because of how this is going, and I can change that or I can adjust. And then finally, this God uses storms to perfect us. And that's very simply just to make us more like Jesus, right? To make us better. So when the storms come, what do we do? How do I respond when the skies open up and it just starts pouring? And realistically, we can't waste time trying to avoid them because they're going to come. They're already here, right? So what do we do? So today we're going to look at a few different places in Scripture, because if you've read the Bible, you know that there's a lot of storms throughout the Bible in a lot of different places for a lot of different people. And so I want us to learn from those storms. So we're going to do that. So first things first, why don't you write this down? When the storms come, the first thing I need to do is breathe. Just breathe. And this is something that I know I need to do more of at times, because I think we have a tendency when the storms come, the first thing we do is react, right? Sometimes we overreact. a lot of times without all the information, and it just ends up making it worse when we react, if we're reactors. Has anyone ever made a fool of themselves by overreacting? Okay, good. It happens, right? And sometimes we're able to respond in this really calm state, which is awesome. It's important to remember this. When the storm comes, don't freak out, all right? Now, there's a verse here I'm going to read. There's a story of when Jesus was crossing a lake with his disciples. I want you to hear this. It says this, then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Even the winds and waves obey him. So what do we learn here? Aside from the fact that apparently Jesus was a really sound sleeper. Like, for real, what do we learn? Here's what I know. Let's start here. The disciples, at least a few of them, their profession, they were fishermen. Okay, so they were on these lakes all the time. They'd experienced storms on these lakes quite a bit. So I feel like they would know what to do. So apparently, based on that, this storm must have been massive. It must have been way more than what they were used to, right? So let's get that straight. It was a crazy storm. What do we learn about Jesus? What was Jesus doing that whole time? He's just snoozing. He was just resting. He's taking a breath, not worried. Jesus gets woken up, all right? And he's like, you guys, what are you doing? Because sometimes when stressful things happen, when storms come, it's like a switch flips off in our head. Not on, but off. And we lose all rationality, and we start freaking out and going all over the place. And Jesus is like, you guys, what are you doing? You have so little faith. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? See, when storms hit, before we escalate something from a small category one to a huge category five, before we go shaking Jesus and waking him up, before we freak out, just take a deep breath. You know what happens when you breathe? It calms you down, but it also gives your brain time to think and process. Also, when you're breathing, I don't think you can say things to overreact that you would probably have to take back later, right? So first things first, just breathe. Second, resist the urge to run. When the storms come, resist the urge to run. Now, full confession here, I am a runner. Not like a runner. I don't like to do that kind of stuff. Like I don't go running for funsies. That's not fun. But I am a runner. Like I told you before that I am a peace lover and that's important to me. So when hard things come, those are usually not peaceful. And so my initial instinct is I don't want to be here right now. I need to go. And so I usually don't remove myself. I don't usually actually run, but a lot of times I will do what I can to avoid it. So I'm an avoider. If you're an avoider, that's the same thing as being a runner. So if you're trying to get out of it, you can't. So I will do what I can to avoid the hard things in conversations. I know this about myself, so I'm pushing myself more to not do that. But that is a natural inclination, that when hard stuff happens, I run. And I can tell you this, it only makes it harder when you do that. There's a man in the Old Testament, his name's Jonah. Jonah could be classified as a runner. I don't know if you're familiar with this story. I'm going to read you something in just a second. But basically, God asked Jonah to do something. And he said, hey, there's this city called Nineveh, and I need you to go and tell them that they are wicked people, and then I'm going to pronounce judgment upon them. And uh, this Listen to this. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, the son of Amittai. He said, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish and he bought a ticket and he went on board hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. I think this is one of the funniest passages in all of Scripture. I think this is hilarious because I could just picture God talking to Jonah and saying, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to go tell these people that they're wicked and I'm going to pronounce judgment against them. And Jonah's like, cool. And he goes the exact opposite way. Doesn't say a thing. He just leaves and then he books a ticket on a boat and takes off. So let me say this. When we run, it gets worse. And for Jonah, it got worse. All right? Like he got on this boat and all of a sudden, huge storm. Again, lesson for us. Maybe stay off the boats. It's the second time. Huge storm happens. People on the boat are freaking out. They don't know who Jonah is other than he gave them money to ride on their boat, right? And they're trying to figure out why is God so mad at us? What's happening here? Why is this happening? And Jonah's like, it's me, guys. It's me. No, it's not you. We'll draw lots and see who it is. And it turns out it was him. And he's like, just throw me overboard. Everything will be fine. And eventually that's what happens. I don't know if they throw him or if he jumps, but the second he hits the water, calm. Storm gone. And then he doesn't drown. He gets swallowed by a giant fish. Jonah's having an amazing day. And it's all because he did what? He ran, right? Eventually, after 3 days living inside this fish, Jonah at least comes to the place where he's like, I'll do what you asked me to do, God. He's still grumpy about it the entire book. He's never happy about it. But he does it, and we'll finish up that story in a little bit. But when we run, it only gets worse. And sometimes you can see it getting worse right away. Jonah saw it getting worse right away. But other times when we run, we don't necessarily see the effects of us running from it or avoiding things until way later. How many people in here are runners? Yeah, like me, not like runners, but you know what I mean. Okay, how many of you are stuffers? How many of you stuff stuff? Okay, stuffing and running are the same thing, just so you know. So if you're hoping to get out of that, that's not happening. So those are the same thing. When something hurts, when you begin to hurt, you stuff it. When it's just too hard to deal with, when it's just too much and you don't want to feel anything and you don't want to deal with it, you stuff it. That eats away at you, and someday it will surface. Someday it will surface when you and you won't be able to push it down any longer. Running isn't the answer. Remember, storms always serve a purpose, right? They always serve a purpose. So ignoring and stuffing the storm isn't the answer either. Pretending that everything okay, that's not sustainable. We can't keep doing that. Have you ever seen a duck swim? You ever see, they just seem like they're just gliding along the water very peacefully and smoothly. Have you ever seen the underside of a duck while it's swimming? It's like this, okay? It's like 100 paddles a second or something. It's like absolute chaos under the water, all right? Just to be able to provide that nice, smooth exterior that everyone sees, there's massive chaos happening just to keep that going. That's us. That's us sometimes when we run and when we stuff things. We're doing everything we can just to put on this happy face, doing everything we can to look normal, but inside there is massive chaos happening just to keep that going. That can't last. We can't keep that up. And if you keep running and if you keep living that way, eventually it will catch up to you. And it's way worse than just dealing with it in the moment, all right? Resist the urge to run. Yes, it could be hard to face stuff. It could be hard to face that storm, but it's way better than stuffing and running from it because it'll catch up eventually. And so when those storms come, we breathe. We resist the urge to panic. We resist the urge to run. And next we do this. Remember to check my perspective. I need to remember to check my perspective because God sees the bigger picture. God sees the bigger picture. Remember, perspective's huge, man. When we're too close to things, it's really hard to see the bigger picture. I mean, think about Jonah. Why do you think he ran? Why do you think he ran? So that if we just read that verse that we read earlier, I can basically assume that he probably ran because God's like, hey, I want you to go to this place where a whole bunch of wicked people live that I'm going to pronounce judgment on, and I want you to tell them. He's probably like, I don't want to go anywhere near that place, and I definitely don't want to be the guy that goes there and tells them they're wicked and that you're pronouncing the judgment, because the messenger always gets shot, right? So on first look, just looking at that verse, that's what I'm thinking, like, oh, that's why he's running. That totally makes sense. But when we read further, you actually find out the real reason for his reluctance to go. Jonah, for whatever, I don't know what drove this, but he wanted the people of Nineveh punished. And he was afraid that God would show them grace. He didn't care about the grace and forgiveness and possible salvation for an entire city of people. He wanted them punished. He wanted them to suffer. And he certainly didn't want to go there and witness their forgiveness. Right? But that's exactly what happened. He actually delivered. He finally went. He delivered the message. They repented. God showed grace. And Jonah was grumpy about it. And he pouted the entire rest of the book. He was super upset. And that's the reason he didn't want to go. God tried to explain to Jonah in chapter 4 why this happened, why he gave grace. And this is what he says to Jonah. He says, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a city, such a great city? God's saying, Jonah, there's 120,000 souls who are living in darkness, who don't know what they're doing. Shouldn't I feel sorry for them? Shouldn't we offer them hope and grace and forgiveness if they want it? Isn't the bigger picture salvation for all? Yeah. How many times do we get caught up in our anger and desire for judgment that we miss the bigger picture? Let me ask you that. How many times do you get so angry and so caught up in your desire for justice that you miss the bigger picture? That's what happened to Jonah. And storms come for all different reasons. Sometimes storms come and they have nothing to do with you. There's just a storm you're facing, but really the main benefit is somebody else over here. God knows and he sees the bigger picture. When you're in the middle of it, remember that God is the one who can see the bigger picture and he knows the reason for it, and we can trust him with the outcome. Jonah didn't trust God with the outcome because Jonah thought he knew better. He thought he knew what they deserved. And so he couldn't see it. He was blinded by his own feelings and anger and selfishness. Here's another example of God seeing the bigger picture. Jesus Christ. Jesus. I mean, Jesus came to this earth and only a few people knew he was the Messiah. Right? Because everyone expected the Messiah to come guns blazing into this world. And that's not what Jesus did. He came and he laid pretty low for years. And then when he finally began his public ministry, there was tons of folks who were against him, who didn't believe that he was who he said he was. And so they had him killed. They had him murdered. And I got to be honest with you, that was the biggest storm in history. That was it. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, was murdered. And you can imagine being alive at that time. Hope for those believers, those people that follow Christ, hope was crippled. In their imperfect eyes, they just saw that Jesus is gone, hope is gone. This was the darkest day in history. But let me remind you that God saw the bigger picture. Listen to this in Acts 2. But God knew what would happen. Underline that. But God knew what would happen. And his prearranged plan. God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and you killed him. To every believer, the death of Jesus was the darkest of storms. But God saw the bigger picture. He knew the plan. He had it. It had to go this way. This was a Category 10 storm that changed the world. And only God saw it as that. He's the only one who knew. So when we're in the middle of storms, we don't see clearly. Hey, man, when I'm walking and it's pouring down rain and it's hitting me in the eyes, I can't see clearly. When you're driving in a blizzard, you can't see clearly. When we're angry, we can't see clearly. When we're frustrated, we can't see clearly. When you're heartbroken or grieving, we can't see clearly. But God can. He can. So when we can't see it, which honestly is most of the time, we believe and we know and we trust that God can see it, and his track record proves it. We got to trust that God sees the bigger picture. So when the storms come, we take a deep breath. We don't run. We trust that God can see the greater outcome. And the next thing we do, man, we reflect on God's word. We've got to turn to God's word. Because God's word is where we gain perspective. God's word is where we gain refuge in the middle of the storms. You know, for the last couple months, I have been really encouraged by a few verses in the Psalms, by Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. And I think it really applies here, and I want to encourage you with it too. Listen to these words. What delight comes to the one who follows God's ways? He won't walk in step with the wicked, nor share in the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in the scorner's seat. His pleasure and passion is remaining true to the word of I am, meditating day and night in the true revelation of light. He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of his life. He's never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. I mean, think about that. It says here, blessed is and delighted is and joyful is the person who remains true to God's word, meditating on it day and night. And what happens? That they in every season, they bear fruit. Even in the hardest seasons, even in the storms, if we are reflecting and meditating on God's word, if we're looking to his word, we can bear fruit even in the strongest hurricanes of life. God can come in any season when we rely on his word and we rely on his strength. Write that down. I need to rely on God's strength. And we can rely on his strength because of his word. We find our strength in his word. Because look back at that verse that we just read. It says, he will be standing firm, like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, standing firm, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season. He is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. Who wants all of that? I want all of that. I want, when every storm comes, I want to know that I am deeply rooted. Deeply rooted means no matter how hard the winds come, I am moving. And it's not my power. It's God's power. That's what deeply roots us, his word. We're strengthened by his word and his promises. And when we fix our eyes on who he is and how big he is and how great he is and how gracious he is and how powerful he is and how forgiving our God is, when we take a look at him and we see him and we recognize there's nothing that he can't do, and we spend time actually learning about him and keep learning about him, the storm doesn't seem so massive anymore. Those giant waves that were rocking the boat and scaring us half to death, they're starting to look smaller and smaller and smaller. And the disciples forgot this. All right, they lost sight of this when they were in the boat with Jesus, when the waves were going crazy. They forgot who was in there with him. And listen, you need to hear this. Jesus is in your boat. Jesus is in your boat. He's always been in your boat. He's been with you in every storm. He's been with you through every storm. He will be with you. And even if your boat sinks, he's the one guy who can walk on water. So he'll carry you out. This is who's in your boat. He's got you. He's always had you. He's got us. Praise God. Not only does he have us, but he understands the purpose of the storm that we're in. If you're going through a storm right now and you're not meditating and spending time in His Word, you're making it a lot harder on yourself. You're trying to do this on your own. You're relying on something that isn't solid. I encourage you to spend time in His Word. Listen to these promises. I picked out some verses, and this is just the tip of the iceberg for promises that we cling to in God's Word that strengthen us. But listen to this, Isaiah 41. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Psalm 118 says, the Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Deuteronomy 20 says, when you go out to fight your enemies and you face horses and chariots and an army greater than your own, do not be afraid. For the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, is with you. Psalm 139, you go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. So let me ask you a question. Whose strength are you relying on in your storm? Whose strength are you relying on in your storm? Is it yours? Is it a friend or a family member? Is it the government? Well, spoiler alert, all of those are imperfect. All of those will fail us repeatedly. Rely on the one who knows and sees it all. Rely on the one who actually split the sea to deliver his people. Rely on that one. Fix your eyes on God's word and you'll have all the strength that you need. So, to kind of sum it up, when the storms come, we breathe. We resist the urge to run. We trust that God can see the bigger picture because he does. And then we go straight to his word. And we find strength and hope in his word. And finally, when that storm comes, learn from it. When the storms come, learn from them. Remember, we talked about it up front. Storms always serve a purpose, right? They always serve a purpose. Storms are to correct us and protect us, direct us, inspect us, and perfect us. So let me ask you this question. What have you learned over the last 4 months? That you hate wearing masks? Yeah, I learned that too. That you needed a lot more toilet paper than you thought you needed? I also learned that. It's weird. But for real, what did you learn over the last 4 months? What have you learned? Have you asked yourself that question? I can tell you the thing I've learned the most, and I feel like I've learned a lot of things, but the thing I've learned the most is just how desperately and greatly I love my family. And that there's no place I would rather be on this entire planet than with them. And that has been an amazing realization for me. I knew it. I knew I loved them. But man, this has solidified that. So what have you learned over the last 4 months? The Apostle Paul in Philippians says this. He says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Go ahead and underline that sentence for me, will you? I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. That what I had you underline, think about that. Not that I was ever in need, but I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. So I don't know if you know this, but other than Jesus, Paul, who's writing this, the Apostle Paul, he's the greatest preacher who ever lived, okay? So it's kind of a big deal. And even Paul had to learn how to be content. He didn't just wake up and he was just fine with whatever happened. He had to learn that. And let me say this. He chose to learn from all his experiences. He chose to learn from his storms. He chose to learn from his triumphs. It was a choice. He didn't waste a storm. He didn't waste a storm. Don't waste your storms. Don't waste those. Because they're there for a purpose, remember? Paul could have chosen to get angry. He had every right to be angry about the stuff. He was treated super bad. He could have been so angry. But he didn't. He chose to learn from that storm. We have that same choice that we can make. We could choose to be angry and upset about the world and what's going on in it right now. We could choose to be hacked off. Listen, if you're spending all your time and getting your news and just watching the news and watching social media, you're going to be angry. That's all you're getting from that. But if you're spending time in here, you're going to see a different picture. Okay? If we learn from it, if we learn from the storms, then we grow from it. And you know what another amazing benefit is? When we have learned from a storm and gone through a storm and grown from a storm, we're able to help other people go through their storms. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can be happy. No, so that we can help comfort others. Underline that verse. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Because when they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. We say this all the time here at Grace. Our biggest storms, our biggest struggles become our greatest ministry. The greatest storms you face and you learn from and go through, that's going to become your greatest ministry in helping other people. And as hard as they are, and as weird as this may sound, we need to start looking at storms differently. We need to begin to anticipate and even look forward to the storms because of what God's going to do through those storms. Remember, storms always serve a purpose. I want you to write this down. When it rains, that's when we grow. When it rains, that's when we grow. My favorite part about being in Portland, growing up and seeing the rain is that it takes things. It makes everything green and beautiful. That's what rain does. All right? Rain makes everything green and beautiful. And without rain, everything dries up, right? It gets brown and dusty and dies. And so if you're going through a storm right now, you tell people, God's making me green and beautiful. Great things are happening for me. Because that's what he's doing. All right? Let me ask this. Are you going to grow if you're not in a storm? Like, do we grow very much when we're comfortable? Do we grow when life is easy? When things are kind of just all going smoothly for us? We don't really grow. We don't at all. We don't even pay attention. We just live it up. We grow when we encounter those storms. And so we need to look at storms differently. Knowing that God is with us and that he's going to use this storm. Romans 5, 3-5 is a special verse for me. It got me through some huge storms in my life. And I just want to encourage you with this. It says, and we also have joy with our troubles. Underline that. Joy with our troubles. We can have joy in the midst of our storms because we know that these troubles produce patience. In other translations, it says endurance or perseverance. So these troubles, these storms are producing that in us. And then that patience leads and produces character in us. And that character produces hope. And this hope will never disappoint us. Because God has poured out his love to fill our hearts. God gave us his love through the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us. So when the storms come, we can face them head on because we have hope. Because we have hope that God will be there with us, because he's been there with us. He's directed us through, and we have the potential to grow immensely if we learn from these storms, if we pay attention. Storms always serve a purpose. And so we can say, let it rain, like she's saying in the song. We can say, let it rain with confidence. It's almost like we're saying, bring it on. Let it rain. It's our battle cry. Bring on the storm, because I know that through this storm, I'm going to grow. Through these storms, we're going to grow if we're focused on God and if we're leaning on him and his word. And you may say, hey, listen, I'm pretty much done with storms for 2020. Listen, I get it. I'm also done with storms for 2020. I'd be cool if we go on cruise control the rest of the time. But that's not going to happen. Unfortunately, because we live in a sinful world, these storms will keep coming. And they'll look different, but they'll be there. And sometimes there'll be a lot of them at the same time. But we're deeply rooted. And these things aren't going to uproot us. How will you choose to see storms when they come? Will you see them as opportunities to grow, for God to do great things? I hope so. I hope we can all see storms in that light, with that vision, as an opportunity for God to do great things, because he wants the very, very best for you. He loves us and he is for us. I want you to listen to this. I'm going to read a section from Romans. I just want you to hear these words. So what does all this mean? If God is determined to stand with us, then tell me, who could ever stand against us? For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. I want to stop right there. Did you know that? Did you know that God gave his greatest treasure, his Son Jesus? Did you know he gave him to save all of us, to save you? You see, I mentioned it a little bit ago that sin, we all got sin. When you're born, we're born with sin, and sin is poison. Sin separates us from God's love, all right? And God knew this. He knew that we would be separated from him because of the sin, and he wasn't okay with that because he loves you and I too much to be okay with that. He doesn't want to be separated from us for all eternity. And so he did the only thing he could. He sent his Son, his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. He sent his Son to this earth. Jesus Christ came here and he died for you and me. He died. He paid the price. He was the perfect sacrifice. He paid the price for all of our sin. Past sins, sins in the future that we haven't even committed yet, he paid for them all by dying for us. And on the third day, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death once and for all. For you and me. And the Bible says, to receive this salvation, to receive this assurance that when we die, we get to go to heaven, all you have to do is believe in Jesus. I think sometimes we get confused. We think, oh, I have to do this, and I have to be good here, and I have to do this right now. I just have to do these kind of things. No. That's not true at all. All we have to do is believe that Jesus Christ did this. And also, don't believe the lies that you're not worthy. Listen, we're all not worthy because of sin. But don't look back and say, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. All of these things in my past, they disqualify me from this grace that God offers. No, they don't. They don't. He loves you. There's grace and forgiveness for every single one of us. All we need to do is place our faith in Jesus and believe in him. God gave his greatest treasure. And listen to this. And since God freely offered him up as the sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. So who then would dare to accuse those who God has chosen in love to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict over them, not guilty. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life for us. And even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us since he's continually praying for our triumph? Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love towards us. Troubles, pressures, and problems, the storms of life, are unable to come between us and heaven's love. Well, what about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they're all impotent to hinder omnipotent love. Even though it's written, all day long we face death threats for your sake, God. We're considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yet even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors. And his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. So now I will live with the confidence there's nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, the storms in life, fallen angels or dark rulers in heavens. There's nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could be ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Amen? Amen. 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 God wins. I hate to spoil the book for you, but he wins. He's already won. No storm is going to take us down. We have victory in Jesus. Will you bow your heads for me? Just close your eyes for a minute. We have victory in Jesus. I just want to take some time right now. If for the first time today, you understood what Jesus has done for you, that he gave his life for you, and for the first time today, you've placed your faith and trust in him, I want to celebrate with you. In just a moment, I'll have you lift up your hand. Just raise your hand right where you are. Raising your hand doesn't save you. It just lets me know who you are, and it lets me know that you understood and that you're saying, today I believe and place my faith in Jesus. So if today for the first time that was you, would you just slip your hand up? Praise God. I see your hand. Praise God. For those watching online, if you made this decision, if you placed your faith in Jesus today, I encourage you. We want to know who all of you are who've done this. If you just shoot us a text, just text the word believe to the number 313131. That lets us know. And then we can also just get in touch and see if there's anything that you need, anything we can help you with on this new journey for you. For all of us, let me just pray right now. Father God, I thank you for the storms that you bring in life. Although we might not like them in the moment, we know and believe that you use them for good. And so, Father, as we face these storms, for all facing storms right now, I pray that you would help us. Bring us back to your word. Help us. Remind us to breathe. Give us the courage not to run. Help us to trust you because we know you do see the bigger picture. Father, help us to just live in your word. And allow that to strengthen us. And Father, most of all, help us to learn. Learn from the storms. God, we love you and we thank you for loving us. And we recognize and embrace the fact that when it rains, when there are storms, that is when we grow and become more and more like you. And we want that, God. So we say, let it rain. We say, bring it on. We'll take these storms knowing that we are deeply rooted in you. Thank you, God, for loving us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.